WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We're listening to I'm Feeling You by Chicago blues and soul guitarist and singer-songwriter Ronnie Baker Brooks. It's a track off his upcoming album. Now, if you remember the last time Ronnie was on Reset back in June, he exclusively shared the title of his album with us. It's called Blues in My DNA, and the album drops on Friday, October 11th. So we had to bring Ronnie back on the program to talk about his latest record. I started by giving Ronnie his flowers and asked him how it feels to be just a week away from dropping this long-awaited album.
Well, it's almost like having a baby.
You don't know what that feels like.
Well, I mean, I know the anticipation.
Right.
You know, I'm excited to share the music with the people and see their reaction, and then you know, get in front of them playing it.
Yeah. It's been more than 8 years since your last album. Times have changed.
That's right.
Which I got to admit, right, in preparing to meet with you today, I've been playing that over and over again.
Cool.
And the song's stuck in my head. The title track is stuck in my head. It's been stuck in my head all week. I want to hear the title track of your new album, though. I see that you've got your acoustic guitar with you. I'm not going to ignore that for too much longer.
Okay.
I would love for you to sing it for us live.
Yeah, I would do it. You want me to do it now?
Yes.
This is the title track off my new record, Blues in My DNA. I was born in a ghetto flat, protected by the man above. Didn't know we had no money, 'cause we were rich with pure love. Trying to stretch 1 meal to last us the whole week. Stomachs was growling while tears was falling down my mama's cheek. I never felt accepted from the other side of the track. My looks wasn't that privileged. I had to learn to live with that. I'm not complaining. Lord, I'm just explaining. I got the blues in my DNA. Oh yeah. Whoa, yeah. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Living life with despair. I came a long, long way just to get right here. The hustle is on in the streets, y'all, of my neighborhood. Corrupt politicians and crooked cops, all up to no good. Paranoia got my head on a swivel as the bills keep stacking tall. I'm trying my best to stay legit, y'all, with anxiety pitfalls. I'm not complaining. Lord, I'm just explaining. I got the blues in my DNA. Well, now my grandma and grandpa had them, my mama and daddy too. I can feel the pain from the chains from what my ancestors been through. Lord, please purify this blood running through my veins of the blues in my DNA. Whoa, yeah. Every day has been a lesson in this life I live. The blues has been a lesson to turn bad into a positive. It's got to get better, y'all, with self-accountability. Reverse the curse that's been casted on me and my family. I'm gonna look into the mirror with this love from this healing. Keeping the faith with every piece I break of this invisible glass ceiling. I'm not complaining, Lord, I'm just explaining. I got the blues in my DNA. I'm not victim blaming, Lord, I'm just explaining. I got the blues in my DNA. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, I got love in my blood, y'all, with blues in my DNA. I got love in my blood, y'all, with blues in my DNA. I got love in my blood, blues in my DNA. I got love in my blood, y'all, blues in my DNA.
Wow.
Thank you.
Ronnie Baker Brooks, that was incredible.
Thank you.
I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining. I got blues in my DNA. Boy, you took us on a journey with that one. You talked about struggle.
Yeah.
Poverty.
Yeah.
Acceptance. Yeah. Pain. But then the lessons. What made you want to dig so deep for this one?
You know, during the pandemic, I had time to think a lot. We all did.
Yes.
And I was doing a Facebook Live show every Friday during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing some of my father's songs, Lonnie Brooks.
Yeah.
That I'd never done before. And I thought about a song he did called I Was Born with the Blues. And I was like, wow, I was born with the blues too. I got blues in my DNA. And that's how that song came, you know. And I just started telling my story on growing up on the south side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grew up right in between the projects and Hyde Park. And the gap started getting smaller and smaller. The gang started recruiting. And my dad was like, no, y'all going to be in my gang. So here I am telling my story with blues in my DNA.
Blues in my DNA is the third song on the album. I'm curious about the song before it. It's called Lonnie Brooks' Blessing.
Yeah.
So as we talk about your father, and you know, of course, he's a fellow blues guitarist and singer, I want to hear more about him, about his influence and the experience on yourself as a musician.
Huge. He passed away in 2017, and God blessed me with the honor to be able to take care of my father during his illness. And during that time, we were like best friends. I mean, as you can be with father and son.
Yeah.
He always kept that dynamic. I'm your daddy now. But he was also very inclusive, very, very friendly, man. Very my best friend. When I got old enough to go on the road with him, he allowed me to go on the road with him. And that just changed my life.
So that relationship that you had, that father-son, but we're also friends dynamic, like that in itself was the blessing.
Huge blessing. Huge blessing. Now I look back at it as now I'm a father and I have my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the sacrifices that he took for us to keep us together, first of all, and then to be able to do what he loved to do while doing that as a father. That's amazing. I mean, being a musician at his success was an amazing task. But then being able to take care of us as well and keeping us out of trouble. Everyone, you know, have careers and I mean, we're not super rich, but we rich with pure love.
Yeah. Right.
And that's because of my mom and my dad. Yeah.
What was the inspiration behind this album? I mentioned earlier that it's been 8 years.
Yeah.
Right? So why now? Why is now the time?
Well, like I was talking earlier about the pandemic, I had a lot of time to think, you know, and this was the first life challenge that I had without my father to bounce off of. So I had my mother, of course, was still with me. She passed a year ago last September 23rd.
Mm.
But as far as the music business and being a musician, I didn't have dad anymore to talk to and bounce off of.
What was that like?
Oh, it was weird.
Because there had to be a first time where you realized that. Where it was like, oh, I want to call him.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Yeah. I still have those moments.
Yeah.
But I know he's here with me. I feel him. I really do. And I was thinking about, like, when I was doing his songs, doing those Facebook Live shows, I was thinking about all the memories that came with that because I played on several of those songs with him, and they were on Alligator Records.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, like, wow, you know, my first time playing on a record was with Dad, the live record here in Chicago, Bayou Lightning Strikes. That was on Alligator.
Mm-hmm.
First time I sang on a record was on the road, Satisfaction Guaranteed album. That was on Alligator Records. That's the first record I wrote that was published. That was on Alligator Records. I was like, well. And then my manager, John Bonsamito, was saying, man, you know, let's set up a meeting with Bruce Iglar from Alligator. It's a lot of history there.
Mm-hmm.
I know your goals, what you want to do. And it would be good to at least listen and talk with him because a lot of the history was there at Alligator, my early days in my career. And then he set up the meeting.
And you officially joined, what, last August?
Yeah, August 3rd. I never forget because that was the day I started with my dad, August 3rd, 1989, officially. I was with him from, you know, beyond that, well, since I graduated from high school, but officially, I was his guitar player August 3rd, 1989, and I signed with Alligator August 3rd, 2023.
Wow. And this blues in your DNA, I mean, it doesn't just end with your dad. I mean, you have siblings.
Yeah.
Who are musicians. Your brother Wayne Baker Brooks is a blues artist.
Yeah.
Wise men say you got to learn from your mistake, but you keep on doing the wrong thing anyway.
Your late sister Jackie was a gospel singer, I hear.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it like to have so much music in the family?
That's what kept us out of trouble, to be honest, Sasha. It was always music in the house. Dad would include us when he was writing. You know, he would have his, we have a reel-to-reel with recordings of us, you know.
Oh, that's so
cool. Yeah, it was great family moments before the, you know, YouTube and all that.
Before you could vlog and post it for the world.
And looking back now, it was so much fun. I didn't, you know, like I said in the song, I didn't realize we didn't have any money, you know, because it was so much fun. And my dad was a great cook. He even taught my mom how to cook. And I'll never forget, my dad would cook red beans and rice. It would last us a whole week, man.
You made that stretch.
Yeah, and it didn't give you gas.
What?
I don't know what he did. I'm serious.
What kind of beans were those?
Red beans and rice, man. He would put these nice sausage inside of the rice, man, and make some cornbread. Ooh, making me hungry now.
Oh, my goodness. All right, it's time for another song.
Okay.
Ronnie. This one is Accept My Love.
Your worry mind, cause you're the only one that I'm thinking of. Open your heart just one more time and please accept my love.
I'm loving the slower vibe of this song. It's almost feeling like a ballad.
Yeah, it is.
Do you like writing these?
I love them. I do. My mom.
You get to be really vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. Yeah. The hard part is getting to that place, and then once you get there, learning how to cut it off.
How does that work for you?
I'm still learning. The blues is the truth. You know, when you're vulnerable, it's the truth. It's you. It's almost like you naked, you know? And the hard part is, like I said, is coming off of that, like when you come off stage and you get back to reality and you got to lock up that heart again.
And then sometimes. Pull it out when you need it.
Yeah, sometimes.
So what's it like? We talked about Alligator Records just a little bit there, but you've now joined the same label your father was a part of.
Yeah.
That's big.
It's huge. Huge for my family legacy.
Was it an easy decision?
No. No, it wasn't. Because I have my own label, Watchdog Records. And because of my, you know, early days of learning, being around, you know, my dad and
I got to see how to make records, you know. I got to see how all that done, working with Dad. And when I decided to do my own record and put it out myself, I got busy with that. You know, my mother and my sister helped me with that, you know, getting that started and keeping it going. And, you know, it was time for me to take another step. You can only do so much by yourself, I believe, you know. And one of the first steps was getting my manager, John Bonsamito, you know, because I never had a manager prior to that, you know, prior to him. He's my own first and only manager.
What's that been like? Because that's great, that's a, you know, big change.
Good. I would say JB, he's very wise in the industry. He knows what's going on. He worked with one of my heroes, the great Albert Collins. You know, he was his manager. He was Kev Moe's manager. So he knows the business.
You're in good hands.
I'm in great hands, but... The most important part, he's my friend. I can be vulnerable with him.
You can trust him.
Yes.
That's important.
Yeah.
Time for another track. I want to listen to Robbing Peter to Pay Paul.
I got the blues so bad, till I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
Doesn't know about robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Oh yeah,
man.
That's a good segue too, because I wrote that song talking to my manager, who is John.
Oh, okay. It's all connecting for me now.
Yeah.
You came up in blues through your father. You talked about how lucky you felt because you got to see a lot of the blues greats in their prime when you were coming up. There was once a time when. There was a ton of blues players out there, but you've also talked about how the 90s was kind of a transition period.
It was.
Because people began to pass away. So where do you think that leaves the blues right now? Is this still feeling like a period of transition?
I guess so, because I witnessed the greats of that generation in their prime, and they're no longer here. So for me... adjusting to that, and then me having that stage, or you know, my turn up.
Yeah,
you know, it's time for me to.
It's on you now.
Yeah, well, not all by myself, but yeah, from my part of my story, I have to let the people know about those people, you know, that inspired me and did so much for this music, you know. And I always say the blues is a healer, and those people helped me learn that, you know. I've been around them and rubbed their shoulders, picked their brains, and played with them, and a lot of them inspired me, and like the Queen, Coco Taylor.
My mama told me the day I was grown, she said, sing the blues, child, sing it from now on.
Learn everything you can from your dad, because one day you're going to have to keep this music alive. I didn't think about that at that age, you know. But looking back at it now, it's like, whoa.
That's an important lesson.
Yeah. And she was always like a motherly love thing came over me with Coco Taylor. She was like my blues mother. And just to have that in my pocket, I have to share it, you know?
In hindsight, I mean, do you think you were paying closer attention than you realized you were?
I was. I really was, yeah.
Because I think now you probably can remember a lot of things that he went through, that you witnessed.
Yeah.
Young as you were, right?
You know, I going through it at that early age, I knew something was special, and I didn't realize the impact that these artists had, or even my dad. You know, I never forget, we're here at Navy Pier here, right?
Yes.
When I was about 12 years old, my dad played the Chicago Fest. It was right here, probably where this building is. And I remember, like, this was the first time I saw my dad play in front of thousands of people. Now, when I played with him, I was 9 years old, first time on stage. It was in a small club.
Wow.
It was a small venue, you know. But I remember coming out here to see my dad and having the people mesmerized and like, whoa, this is my dad.
People excited to see your dad.
Like, this ain't the same guy I was just on the floor wrestling with at home.
Or eating red beans and rice with.
Right, yeah. And it just blew my mind. And I never forget this moment. he came off the stage, and I, at the time I was playing, but I had kind of quit to play basketball. I said, Dad, I could never do that. And he put his hands on my shoulders and looked at me in my eyes and said, yes, you can. You can do it better. Mm. And that stuck with me. All of them those moments stuck with me, you know, from being around him.
What do you think your kids are experiencing? I mean, are they seeing people go nuts over you and thinking, well, that's just my dad?
Yeah, but I don't know. That's a good question. That, you know, I try not to, I try to just be dad with my daughter and my kids. You know, I don't look at it that way. Like, if they're looking at it like I did, you know?
Like, my dad's a superstar.
I don't know. I just try to be the best dad I can be, you know?
That's fair. More music. Here is Stuck on Stupid.
Uh-oh.
Incredible. Oh, my goodness. I can listen to that all day.
Thank you.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility now that you've got to continue your family's big blues legacy?
You know, I used to think that it was an obligation. Now I feel like it's an honor.
Mm.
It's an honor.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility. Could be a challenge, too.
Oh, it's many challenges. That comes with it. But, you know, the reward is awesome. You know, I got to play with my dad all over the world, you know, doing something he loved to do, and I'm doing something I love to do. I got to play with my brother. He's doing what he loved to do.
That's so special.
Can't beat it.
Are there any fellow blues artists or up-and-comers that you're finding inspiration from today?
Yeah, always.
That you want to shout out?
Shout out to my brother, Billy Branch.
If it keep on raining, it levy you by the brain. If it keep on raining, the levy you gonna break.
Billy Branch is from here in Chicago. He's in the studio now doing a record, and he asked me to be a part of it.
Nice.
It was an awesome moment to be in the studio with Billy. And he's got a really good record that's coming. And I find inspiration. Billy's been very important in my growth as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he played on my dad's first record on Alligator, Bayou Lightning. He's playing harmonica on it.
Okay.
And I knew him before he knew me. And I always tell him that. And yeah, so Billy's been a huge inspiration. My sister, Shamika Copeland.
One last slow blues to close the show. I watched you dance with her, and you know it hurt me so.
Who's on Alligator as well. She's been like a really blues sister, like my real sister.
Yeah.
And
our engineer is a big fan.
Yeah, we you know, you can't talk to everyone about what you go through in this business. And by both of us having a father, her father is Johnny Clyde Copeland, he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was Lonnie Brooks. We can relate a lot. And we both musicians as well. So
mm-hmm.
She's been a huge inspiration too.
That's awesome. Well, can listeners expect an album release show at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
October 18th at Fitzgerald's.
October
in Berwyn.
18th.
Yeah.
Okay.
A CD album release party.
CD, no.
I can't think of that.
Not anymore, Ronnie.
Album, record, or whatever it is.
Oh, CDs. What a time that was.
I know. Seemed like yesterday.
You going to be back on the road anytime soon?
Yes. We got many dates on my website, ronniebakerbrooks.com. We're getting out there to support it. I'm headed to the Blues Cruise.
Nice.
Later this month. And then after I get back from there, you know, I'm going back to Europe.
Oh, good.
And then I come home and hit the road.
Well, that
back
is
to America.
Pretty awesome. We are so glad to have you here. That's Chicago blues and soul guitarist, singer, and songwriter Ronnie Baker Brooks. We really appreciate you making the time.
Thank you for having me.
And for playing in studio.
Thank you for all you do for this music, too.
What a treat. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
My pleasure.
It.
Let's go out on one more song. This is My Boo.
Yeah.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Micah Yason, and it was edited by Dan Tucker. Reset brings you conversations with local artists and musicians coming into town every Saturday. Don't forget to subscribe to the pod so that you never miss another one. Thanks for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Have a great day. What do I have to do? Well, I'll give up my lives just to have one with you. I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.